I want to welcome everybody to the Greenside Radio Show. The Greenside is a collaboration between the Hackers Paradise and THP Radio and PutterZone.com. I'm your host, Josh, and I want to introduce Sean from PutterZone. He comes on each and every month, and we talk everything in and around the short game.
Hey, Josh.
How's it going?
Good, good.
We have
nice, cool, foggy day here in California.
Yeah, it's a nice, hot, and humid day in Florida. We have a very good show this week. A lot of different kinds of equipment and some brands we haven't covered on this show before.
Yeah. We were talking off the air about the Yes Molly putter.
Yeah.
I know you've had a chance to give that a spin recently.
Yeah, you know, I wouldn't exactly call it, you know, hot new gear, as we like to say, but it is definitely a putter that's kind of newer on the market. And the Molly was a putter that is strikingly gorgeous. I'm a heel-shafted kind of fan, you know, ever since, even on the blade side with the 8802 style. This is just a strikingly good-looking putter with the two-tone and everything else. It's a hefty putter at 355 grams, and what they've done is they've added a tungsten weight to the back, and that's to create MOI, or more MOI, I should say. But it's a little confusing to me in creating that with this type of putter. Can you kind of help me out with the technical side of it here?
Yeah, well, MOI, you know, when you elevate MOI, it helps the putter resist twisting and turning on mishits. Now, it becomes a control issue too, of course. If you hit it right on the center, you're not going to have a need for MOI. And, you know, these heel-shafted toe-down blades, they're naturally harder to control than, say, a large mallet that's face balanced or something like that. You know, there's a lot of rotation to these putters. So, you know, if MOI and forgiveness on mishits is your first concern, this may not be the putter for you in the first place, given its makeup as a heel shafted toe down blade. So, you know, it can't hurt, but if MOI is your priority, I'm not sure this would be your first choice of a style.
I agree with you 100%. You know, putting with it, the patented C-groove technology that they use to give a better forward roll and topspin on the ball works like all other Yes putters. The feel is good. It's, you know, it's got an aluminum insert. So when you compare, let's say, two putters like this, like an Odyssey number 9 or another putter that's a Tor milled putter, let's say, of the same shape, it's going to have a different feel. It's a little clicky to me, but I liked the feel, and I liked the roll it put on it tremendously. And, you know, being that it's a style of putter I really like, looking down at it gives me the confidence. I know you saw these way back when at last year's fall PGA Merchandise show.
Yeah, I haven't had the opportunity to give one a test drive lately, but the Yes folks had the prototypes of this MOI series at the show in Vegas, and they sort of stopped me dead in my tracks with that really cool two-tone look. And at the time, if I recall correctly, they weren't even settled on the two-tone look. And I said, you know, please don't move away from that, because I think you've got a winner here. And it sounds like you agree in terms of the cosmetics.
I do. I think the look of it is striking, you know, and what they did, like I mentioned earlier, is to get the head weight up to a hefty 355 grams. They added a tungsten weight back there, and
You know, and on the MOI thing, you know, it can't hurt. So, you know, I'm not knocking that aspect necessarily, but we have to understand that this is a really high technology putter with a price to match. And so, you know, with that technology, you pay for it. And so the question becomes, do you want to pay for higher MOI in this putter when, in fact, this may not be the type of putter you would want to swing if MOI is something you really need to rely on?
I that's very well said. Like, I look at this putter and I say, if you struggle with the putter head turning in your hands, and MOI is something for you, I know that it has higher MOI with the tungsten weight. I just don't see it working. But if this is a shape that you naturally like and putt well with,
and you want a heavier style,
yeah,
you know, in a toe down blade,
this is absolutely perfect if that's something you like, especially with the heavier style that you just you brought up. And it really does put a nice roll on the ball.
Yeah, it's a sweet looking stick.
Another thing that's pretty new that's come out, and we're shifting away from putters briefly, is Nike has a new Victory Red V-Rev wedge. And, you know, as manufacturers shift over with the groove change and everything else, and, you know, this is considered the year of the wedge in a lot of ways for consumers, Nike wanted to come out with a conforming wedge as well. And they changed up the aesthetics of this a little bit in that it matches very much the Nike split cavities as well as the Method putter. And I like the style of it all matching. It's not 100% my style necessarily, but I do like how it matches in with the set. I mean, if you're playing Nike split cavities, a Method putter, in these wedges, your bag is going to look like it's perfectly matched and laid out by a tailor. You've seen, you know, these wedges. What are your thoughts on the overall look of them in comparing it with the Method putter?
Well, you know, like the Method, they definitely stand out from the crowd. And like you say, there's a synergy between the different lines. You know, before the Method came out, I was thinking it was going to be called the Victory Red putter. In fact, some of the prototypes that we saw had that VR logo on it. And on this wedge, you see that sort of dimple or honeycomb pattern that's on the Method putter. So in a way, I would call the Method putter a Victory Red putter because of that, you know, visual synergy that all of these clubs have. I'm not a fan of that dimple pattern, particularly on the putter. I think that it just doesn't quite make it for me. It's a great looking putter.
We've had that discussion
putter.
Before. Yeah. I actually agree. You know, it's a great looking putter. It's a putter that clearly works. It's got good feel. And to me, it's kind of like the pattern's there just to be there.
Yeah, it strikes me as something at the very end. They looked at the, you know, the rear of the putter and said, you know, hey, what if we did this? You know, it's one of those bright ideas that in retrospect I don't think was very compelling. But that said, you know, there now that it's there and you see it on this wedge, I can certainly see how it unites the look of the clubs. And like you say, if you have them all in your bag and you're a Nike aficionado, then it is kind of a cool looking set.
Yeah, and the Nike VR wedges from the previous line with the non-conforming grooves, and by non-conforming I mean in tournament play at the tour level or the elite amateurs, they were striking wedges, and they ranked very high in our testing. These, you know, it's not fair to compare one to the other in a level of spin or anything like that because obviously the grooves have changed. They're available in a black finish that I got to tell you is striking, and I would love to see them add it to the Method putter line. And I'm not going to sidetrack on putters again, but if they would add that black satin finish they've put on this V-Rev line as a choice to the Method putters, it would be absolutely gorgeous.
Yeah, imagine those Method putters in black with the polymer grooves and some...
I'd love to see the polymer grooves in red.
Like, or fluorescent green or something.
Yeah, you know, I think that would be nice, and I have no idea if that's coming down the pipeline or not. I certainly would like to see it. But, you know, with these wedges, what we found is the feel is very similar to the previous line of the VR line. It's an 8620 carbon steel that feels nice. It's not a clicky feeling. It's not head-heavy or anything else. And I would go out and venture that most amateurs wouldn't be able to tell the difference, especially out of a good lie, with this or the previous line. I wouldn't put it up there with my favorite wedges out on the market, but it's certainly one that is, if you were a Nike fan, this is no step down by any means. In fact, it's a parallel move, conforming grooves, and if you like the look of it, you'll enjoy these quite a bit.
Yeah, I think overall, Nike Golf as a whole is hitting its stride now. I could speak more directly to the putter aspects of what they do, but, you know, it just, there were some awkward steps, but with the method putter, I think, you know, okay, here they are hitting their stride, and I think we're seeing that with this wedge too.
I think you're right. And speaking of Nike Golf and hitting their stride, it's funny you brought that up because the most famous Nike golfer is not hitting his stride and has gone through a little putter infidelity, as my partner in crime here, Sean, likes to call it. Going from his Scotty Cameron to the Method, then back to the Scotty Cameron. What, first of all, for all that don't know, what he's been using the same putter for years. What putter is that?
It is a Scotty Cameron Newport that he had been using for 10 plus years, winning virtually all of his majors with it. And on the eve of the British Open, he switched to the Nike Method. It was an experiment that lasted 3 days, but it was kind of a wild ride at putterzone.com, you know. Not to be crass, but for us it was like the fire hydrant moment, you know, for TMZ. When he switched putters, you know, it was big news. It was probably the biggest news event related to a putter that I can recall, because it was just off the hook. Everybody wanted to know what was going on and what this putter was. And so, you know, we reacted to it and then got ahead of it by trying to really explain all that went into that. So we talked not just about the method, but, you know, the ultra premium category and all of the factors in milled putters and groove putters and things like that. It was a lot of fun.
It was a lot of fun. And we, as soon as it made news on the THP forum, it was everywhere. And people were buzzing about it on social media outlets everywhere. And, you know, he explained it and people explained it that he wanted something because the greens were a little slower. And let's face it, had he gone out and played extremely well, this could have been the greatest marketing thing that wasn't marketing in the history of golf. I mean, method putters were starting to fly off the shelves from what we were hearing. But then he switched right back. And
yeah, he did. And then he went to the Bridgestone Invitational and stunk up the joint. So clearly it's obvious, you know, it's not a putter problem necessarily. But I think this was a huge development for Nike. And, you know, the Nike method won 2 majors the previous year. But even that didn't compare in terms of visibility and buzz to just this 3-day switch. And I think it's an indication that, you know, the world's best golfer, at least he's still number one as of this morning, thanks to Phil. And, you know, when the world's number one switches to your putter, that's an endorsement. That's a big endorsement.
That you're right. And, you know, that was the one piece of equipment that's not Nike in his bag that everybody thought would never be Nike. I mean, you see Tiger Woods, you see the Scotty Cameron, you see the Ping Grip, and you expect to see that every week. I mean, every time he's been winning a tournament or even playing, because they show so many of his shots on TV, all of them, they line up from behind the putter, and you see that Scotty Cameron logo, and seeing the polymer face with the Nike swoosh, and it was a different sight. And I hope that people and readers and listeners and consumers don't look at this and say, the method didn't work, it's not a good putter. He went back to the Scotty Cameron because it's premium. That's not the case at all.
Yeah, you'd think winning the U.S. Open, the British Open in 2009 might have put that to rest. But there are a lot of Nike haters out there. So,
there are.
But, you know, it's interesting. When I first got the Nike method, it was a 001 model. And when I first saw that, and I wish I'd put it down on the proverbial paper, but I saw that and I said, they're gunning for Tiger with this putter. Because it has the sight dot along the crown, and it has that Newport look of Tiger's putter, and I just felt, okay, they're going for him, and they got him.
They did. Yeah. And who knows what the future holds? He could switch again this week for the PGA or, you know, anything else. We don't know. Putters are different for different people, and the feel is different. And one of the reasons that feel it plays a factor, and we've discussed, you know, milled putters and skim milled putters and inserts and everything on this. And one of the things I wanted to talk to you about is the actual metal used in creating putters. Because it seems that predominantly now there's the two sides. There's the stainless and there's the carbon steel.
Yeah, and when we talk about stainless steel or carbon steel, we really have to, I think, speak in generalities, because there's so much that goes into feel beyond the native metal used to craft the putter. But if we're speaking in generalities, you know, we're talking about carbon steel being a little softer than stainless steel. And so within that general category, you have people who prefer, you know, a little firmer feel, and they're going to lean to, all things being equal, a stainless steel putter. Whereas a carbon steel putter, if you really like a soft, almost buttery feel off the face, that is going to be your choice.
Being that we can't go a show without mentioning our friends at Seymour Putters, they have a new carbon steel line, but I'll save that for a different show.
And they're a good example, because their M1, the one that I have, is stainless, and it is just so soft off the face. I mean, I love it.
Agreed.
Yeah, and it just goes to show that why I caution that we have to speak in generalities here, because that's a stainless putter that feels like a carbon steel to me.
Right, and we are speaking in general terms, because generally one associates carbon steel with soft and stainless with a firmer feel, in some ways clicky, but that's not really a good word, because I think people use that as a adjective to describe something they don't care for that much, and that's not really what I mean by that. Do you have a preference in the putters you choose? I mean, do you look for one over the other?
Yeah, I do. I think if you were to send me to a desert island and say you can order one putter sight unseen, it'd be carbon steel.
Why? I can't blame you.
You know, it's like that would be my first choice, because there are carbon steel putters that I've had that are just so phenomenal. And there's that the pinnacle of feel, at least to me, and feel is very personal. But the right putter with the right design in carbon steel just gives off this beautiful suppleness, softness, but also a little bit of backbone, and it's the kind of thing that keeps you coming back for more and makes you look forward to putting. And I think that's a real factor in improving your game. If you like the feel, if you love the feel of your putter and you want to keep putting, you'll practice more and you'll focus more and you'll concentrate more, and it can actually elevate your performance.
What do you think turned the corner? I mean, why would a putter manufacturer still use stainless other than cost? I know certain putter makers, and I won't get into specific manufacturers because I don't have exact stats in front of me, really approached stainless, you know, to make it a famous thing, and it's been used more and more by more and more manufacturers now, yet carbon seems to be, for the true players, the actual one that people prefer.
Yeah, I think it's about how, again, putters are so personal, and you don't want to box. I don't think any manufacturer wants to box themselves in with one type of feel. I mean, I think some of the artists and makers can, but the larger manufacturers, I think, try to show a range. And there, I think there's some realities to stainless steel being perhaps easier to maintain and produce and not have to worry so much about the putter when it's out on the retail floor or subjected to the elements. You know, carbon steel is more prone to showing where it's a softer metal, and if it's not, you know, plated or finished perfectly, it can start to show wear and tear, I think, more easily than a stainless putter. So that's a factor as well.
That's true. And, you know, we're talking about putters that feel differently, but a lot of people, like I said, they may prefer the firmer feel off the stainless.
Sure, yeah, absolutely.
It just like,
and there's also the look, you mm-hmm. know, carbon versus stainless. And again, you know, going back, I mean, I've had carbon putters that feel hard. I can't really explain it. And it's just to me that a lot of it is the design. It's where the weight is placed, where the center of gravity is, things like that. If you have a really thin flange and a thin face, I think that, you know, a stainless that's designed differently can actually feel softer than a carbon putter. So again, you know, it's hard to say one or the other, but overall, you know, I think that, like you say, a carbon putter is generally accepted as the pinnacle in terms of feel.
And, you know, hopefully this discussion will bring some awareness to some people. When you're at the store and you're trying putters, or when you're at the course and you're trying different putters out, just make a mental note of what it's made out of, if you can find the information. Make a mental note or jot it down and go back and look it up, because you may find that you lean towards one or the other, and it may help you with future putter fittings.
Yeah, and at the very least, you know what that term means and signifies, and why a manufacturer may have chosen that. And you know, another thing with carbon steel, I think bears mentioning, is that you can play a carbon steel putter without plating, as long as you maintain it. And there's a service down in Southern California called Black Oxide Service, and Black Oxide is a way to essentially finish the putter without plating it or covering up the native metal. And you have to maintain it; you have to keep it oiled and everything, otherwise it'll start rusting pretty rapidly. But you know, according to the people who embrace sort of black oxide finishes, that's a way to get the true native carbon steel feel off the putter, because you're putting right off the native metal itself, and there's no plating that gets in the way of your feel. So If you're adventurous and you don't mind having to maintain your putter and regularly oil it up, you know, that's a feel unto itself.
I am far too lazy for that.
I've got an old TP Mills Mizuno here that's just rocking, but you know, and I had it done by Black Oxide Service.
Well, it's funny you mentioned them, because we have a story coming up on them that on THP that people will be able to read about and see some of their work, and I know you've done there before. We'll definitely have to delve into that in another show about refinishing and things such as that, personalizing and everything else.
Yeah, it's a whole nother world of you know, I guess putter geekdom.
Yeah, and I've become that person.
Yeah,
you know, and maybe we'll delve into that next month on the next show.
Sounds good.
Another thing that has been a popular topic as of late, and maybe I'll set this forward by saying school is going to be in session for me and many others, and that is the forward press. You know, you hear about it, you see pros do it, and many of the times you don't see pros do it, but they are doing it. What is a forward press? Why is it important? Should regular amateur golfers try it? And, you know, how overall can it help or hurt the average golfer? And to take it a step further, are certain pieces of equipment more prone and easier to work with a forward press than others?
Wow.
I know, that's a mouthful.
There's a loaded question in there somewhere. You know, I'll preface this by saying, you know, I'm a putter aficionado and certainly not a putting expert. I would never bill myself as that. But, you know, I think forward press is really firmly entered the lexicon of putter jargon with the new backstrike putters by Odyssey, where they have that what they call forward press stabilization.
And we've talked about that on a previous show.
Right, right. You know, we'd like to do what we call jargon busting here, and that's typically we talk about jargon related to putters themselves. But you know, Odyssey is gone forward and incorporated forward press into sort of the technical aspect of their putters. So I think it's, you know, fair game for this jargon busting mission that we're on. And you know, to backtrack a little, forward press is it's a move whereby you lean the shaft forward at address before your putting stroke. That's basically what a forward press is.
So, and by forward, you mean towards your target, not
toward the target.
Away from you.
You know, and, yeah. And if you want to visualize it, just find any footage of Phil Mickelson putting, because he puts a pretty firm forward press on the putter before he strokes it. And so, you know, he's probably the most well-known example of a very pronounced, I guess not pronounced forward press, but a very easy to see forward press.
Why does a guy like Phil do forward press? Why should a regular golfer look at doing this?
Well, again, you know, I think it comes down to, and there's so many different opinions out there. Some people recommend against it. Some people are really for it. And so I'm not going to jump into that fray. But, you know, forward press, my understanding is that traditionally it's considered an athletic move. You are pressing the shaft just forward toward the target very slightly prior to stroking the putt. And that just gives you a way to start your motion. You know, instead of being frozen and standing over this ball and suddenly having to start your putting stroke, it's a way to create rhythm and tempo. You slightly lean your hands forward, and then you bring the putter head back. And it just is a way that a lot of people feels enhances their rhythm and tempo and gives them place to start the putting stroke.
And it will make you finish your stroke rather than jabbing at the ball, because you want your hands finishing.
Mm-hmm.
It will also de-loft the putter, in theory.
It will
anyway.
De-loft the putter. Yeah, I mean, they're you know, it's you know, you can find yourself in troubled waters if not done well. You know, you can, if you can de-loft the putter too much and jam the ball into the ground. You also have to be careful. If you forward press too much, you can open up the blade without, or open up the face without really noticing. So you really have to pay attention to your face and being perpendicular to the target line when you do that.
Do you think that certain putters are better at this than, or better suited for this than others?
You know, it's hard for me to say. In personal experience, I feel like a putter with some offset is easier to do it with. I don't know why. When there's a no offset putter in my hands, forward press just feels a little awkward.
Do you use a forward press?
I do, yeah. Just a little. And I, for me, it goes back to that creating some sense of rhythm and a starting point for the stroke. I just find that it really helps me just start the stroke in a more athletic way.
Yeah, I mean, I've gone back and forth with forward press quite a bit. I used to use one that was very pronounced, and then I switched to none, and now I use one that's very, very slight. The only reason I do it is to get my hands through the ball at impact and stop jabbing at the ball. But it has helped me through that, and it's worked quite well.
What's interesting about the Odyssey forward press stabilization is that it's really not about initiating the stroke. It's more about having your hands forward.
Mm-hmm.
It's about a fixed position, whereby you have the shaft actually leans from the back of the head toward the target, and so they call it forward press stabilization. They say it puts your hands in the correct position. But you know, technically, I think a forward press is known as a move as much as it is a position.
You had an interesting kind of experience with forward press a little while back. Why don't you tell everybody about that?
Yeah, I was down at the TaylorMade Putting Lab, and they were talking about, you know, on their high-speed cameras and looking at different golfers. And I think it was Dave Stockton, you know, forward pressing. He had a certain amount of loft on his putter, but then he forward pressed to a degree. He actually had what they call negative dynamic loft. So in a sense, the putter was actually de-lofted. But the third factor was what they call up path, is hitting the ball on the upstroke. And so it's kind of all these physics flying around. But basically, you know, what they said was that, you know, if you visualize hitting topspin with a tennis racket, you can actually have the racket de-lofted. But if you're hitting up on the ball, you can create this topspin shot. And so they were using that as an example of even, you know, depending on where your up path is when you strike the ball, that people will think, oh, you can't get the ball rolling without some loft, but apparently you can. But, you know, I don't know if this is one of those kids don't try this at home thing, but apparently for someone like David Stockton, who is regarded as obviously one of the world's best putters, there's a method to that forward press madness.
Well, that makes a lot of sense. And again, in theory, basing it on tennis, it seems to make all the sense in the world. So, you know, it's definitely something to try out, and there's information all over the internet about it. You have a story on it on your site too, correct?
Yeah. Search any of those terms in putterzone.com, and you'll find the story. It's very interesting.
Definitely. So that wraps us up this month, and the shows just fly by now. For myself, Josh at the Hacker's Paradise, you are Sean at Putter Zone. Please keep emailing us your thoughts and comments on what you'd like to hear, what you don't want to hear. Tell us we're good. Tell us we stink. Tell us everything you want. But, you know, we have a little slogan here that we like to sign off with, and it basically comes down to don't fear the green, conquer it. Bye, everybody.
See ya.